Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by Career Management Associates. I'm David Chulo. It's about all things in the human resource world. We're going to bring in local, regional, and national guests, and we're going to talk about a variety of topics and explain why human resource management is critical to your business success so that you can make decisions to keep and retain great talent. Today, we're going to have a special show. Recently, I was at Thomas College in Waterville, Maine. I was speaking with Laurie LeChance, President, Dr. James Libby, Academic Dean, and Lucy Campbell-Pelsma, Assistant Dean of Alumni and Career Services. And we discussed two main things. First of all, we talked about the Maine Development Foundation 2013 Jobs Report, which recently aired on the HR Power Hour on Saturday, July 27th, 2013. Maggie Drummond, Maine Development Foundation, and John Doerr, Senior Advisor for the Jobs for the Future, spoke about this report. In there, it talked about the challenges of the education system today and whether they are producing students that can go out into the, quote, real world and make a difference. We are not only talking about simple skills, such as reading, writing, and arithmetic, but we're actually talking about soft skills, the ability to be professional, the ability to understand when is the proper time to have your cell phone out, and other things that happen in the real world. This is something that colleges are facing, that they are being accused of graduating individuals who are not ready to deal with business today. I was able to talk with Lori and her team about this challenge. Also, we talked about Thomas College itself. They have a unique program. They have a guaranteed employment program in the career services area. What does that mean? They speak about it. One of the challenges that they face is the fact that they are a small college here in Maine. However, they're doing amazing things. And so I would really listen carefully, as they've also made a decision to put a business person in charge of the college in Laurie LeChance. So listen carefully to this great interview about a great college here in Maine that's making a difference. So we're here at Thomas College. Let's start with saying thanks to all three of you for being here today, okay? So I'd like to know what your thoughts are first, Lori, in terms of the university, the college you've taken over, and some of the changes that have been made.
Well, sure. As we were discussing, it was a bit of an unusual occurrence to have an individual appointed as president of a college that had no experience in higher ed. And yet the feedback that we got was, well, of course, it's a business. And with the incredible pressure that's on higher ed these days, it seemed to make infinite sense to a lot of people that why wouldn't you put someone from a business background with an understanding of the economy in charge of helping this college that's very dynamic, small but growing, and see what can happen. And it has just been an amazing ride. The board is made up of all business people who are self-made. They believe in sound business decision-making permeating throughout the organization. And basically, they've empowered me and our team to do whatever it takes to take Thomas to the next level. And I think, I hope my coworkers would say it's been very liberating, because over the last 12 months, my first year here, we have, and the faculty has approved, 8 new courses of study, 8 new programs, 4 at the master's level, 4 at the undergrad level. We have put a renewed emphasis on our guaranteed job program, and now hired the staff to create career planning opportunities starting from day one as a student here. And we've created about a dozen partnerships with organizations across the state, because I believe that through partnership we can do things we never could do alone. And it's opening vast doors for the college. And I personally have had about 400 people come in from the business world to the campus to see what we can do. So there's a lot happening, a lot of dynamism, and frankly, if we can create it, if we can imagine it, we can do it.
Sure.
So, great times.
Jim, you know, one of the challenges you face here is that you are in Maine, right? And that, so some of the challenges are demographics, in terms of getting people to the college, getting people to the university here, and making sure that you're making sure that you get the best candidates. Tell me some of the things that the college is doing to get good candidates here in terms of, you know, students every day.
I think, you know, we have a new vice president of enrollment, and he has engaged in a new marketing plan, which I think is, state of the art. You know, he's very aggressive, and our outreach needs to improve from past years. And I think that given that person and the strategic plan that we've just finished working on, I think what you'll see is a lot more of Thomas College being a household name as opposed to what it has been in the past, and that is a best-kept secret.
Alumni always support individuals, correct? And they'll support your college if they see a direction and focus. What are some of the changes in alumni, you know, that you're making to really reach out to them?
Sure. So we're really, first of all, the way that we're reaching out to alumni now that may be a little bit differently is that we're really trying to engage our alums to help current students leverage the experience of these alums who work for various employers in Maine as well as outside of Maine. So we're really trying to connect alumni to current students to help them along their career paths. You know, we have a very strong homecoming weekend, and we're just going to keep expanding homecoming. We are in the process of creating an alumni leadership council, which we really believe is going to service both undergraduate alumni as well as graduate students who have come back to campus to get their MBAs.
Okay, great. I'm talking with Laurie LeChance, president of Thomas College, Dr. James Libby, academic dean, and Lucy Pelsma, assistant dean of alumni and career services. So one of the reports that just came out was the MDF Maine Jobs Report, and it talks some of the challenges here in Maine getting employers and colleges together in terms of their drive to understand what really employers need. One of the challenges they talk about is not enough math, science, certainly in those areas, computer technology skills. What are some of the things the college is doing to focus and look at some of the skills that are needed, not only in math, science, technology, but also in the soft skills, professionalism, being able to come out from the workforce and not sit on your phone and text in the workplace right away? What are some of the things that we're looking at here at the college to help that?
Well, one thing that I would just start with is the board has put a great deal of focus on investing and reclaiming the areas that have traditionally belonged to Thomas College, and that is we have a 113-year history of being a business college. So we've gone back to our roots. We have also been a leader in technology and the use of technology in education and learning. And as a campus, campus-wide, we've always been engaged at the very cutting edge of technology. Those two areas we chose to reclaim. And the board did something a little uncharacteristic of boards. Rather than getting some students here and then hiring the faculty, they made a conscious decision and told the college to go out and hire the three finest CSIT faculty members that we could find and then claim that spot of technology. So we have hired the three professors. It is already paying huge dividends in the creativity across all curriculum to make technology a central part of what we do. We've created new programs of studies in cybersecurity to meet the needs of business and the business community. And with that, we're really we're creating all kinds of new opportunities for businesses to intersect with us, and we will be the first private college to be a part of Project Login.
And what is Project Login?
That is the program jointly developed by the university and about eight or nine leading business professionals, Mike Dubiak being the chair, to increase the number of CSIT graduates in the state, because there's such a big hole there.
No, I think that's great. That's excellent. And you're listening to the HR Power Hour, and we will be right back. If you're responsible for hiring and firing, you know it can be like a roulette wheel. If your new hire turns out to be a bad hire, well, all you've lost is time and money. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Don't gamble with your hiring. We have a better solution. We've helped hundreds of companies like yours find the right talent, and we guarantee it. Career Management Associates delivers people that fit. Go to cmacareer.com.
Are you frustrated with medical care today? Does it make you angry that your doctor spends more time looking at the computer screen than at you? Does it seem like your doctor is out the door in 5 minutes? There is a better alternative. At Champy Family Practice, Dr. Michael Champy and his dedicated staff make taking care of patients their priority. They are a cash-friendly direct pay practice, which is the perfect option for people with no insurance, high deductibles, and health savings accounts. Unlike other practices, they post their prices in the office and even online. Get modern medical care delivered the old-fashioned way. For more information, call ChampyFamilyPractice.com. That's C-I-A-M-P-I. Or call 774-1222. Champy Family Practice is located at 380 Lincoln Street in South Portland. Champy Family Practice, continuing a tradition of medical excellence in Greater Portland since 1959.
Established in 2009, CrossFit Casco Bay is Portland's most experienced strength training facility. CrossFit is the principal strength and conditioning program for many police academies, elite special forces, champion martial artists, housewives, children, and everything in between. At CrossFit Casco Bay, you'll be able to reduce stress, manage weight and body composition, enhance physical strength and endurance, improve flexibility, and recover from injury or illness in a safe environment. The time is now. Stop in for a free demo. For more information, please visit CrossFitCascoBay.com. CrossFit Casco Bay, forging elite fitness.
In today's digital age of instant communication, the art of conversation is being lost. Too often, verbal communication is reduced to shouting, not talking. Join me, Steve Woods, also known as Steve-O, for Tide Smart Talk with Steve-O. For inspired conversations with extraordinary guests, we'll talk sports, health, green, and life its own self. Catch Tide Smart Talk with Steve-O. Saturdays, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on News Talk WLOB, AM 1310, streaming live on WLOBradio.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour, presented by CMAcareer.com, and you're listening to three guests from Thomas College, Lori LaChance, President, Dr. James Libby, Academic Dean, and Lucy Pelsma, the Assistant Dean of Alumni and Career Services.
One of the challenges is keeping, you know, the faculty of a college engaged with businesses and really knowing or a pulse, if you want to say, on what the, you know, the business leaders need or what is going on in the community. Tell me maybe some of the things that you're looking at to try to get faculty and business connected, not only through hiring great people, but I'm just talking more on the community base to keep that pulse. Because we do hear sometimes that professors lose touch with what exactly the reality is out there. And so I wanted to kind of see what you're doing up here to make that the case.
Well, good news, because I think the answer is it's not happening here. In other words, you know, earlier you and I talked about human resource management, the management of human resources. The three major professors that teach for me in that area are all from the field. One of them's the CEO of a Portland firm. One of them certified is going to teach a TCI for us, which is a Thomas College Institute, a one-week intensive training this coming next spring. So, and fully certified. Another one is somebody who is served on the Maine Human Rights Commission. So we're actually getting people from the field to teach in these courses, and they've already either taught for us or are going to teach for us, and it's something that I think is part of the direction that Lori LaChance has provided for us, is that, you know, we've got to go back to our business roots as opposed to, you know, being kind of that the old staid academic institution that you hear about in often. And, you know, we're not the University of Maine system. We're a private college and we're small. So we have to, we've cut our teeth on good business practices, and we have to remain competitive. And if we're not, we'll run into trouble. So I like the mix that we have of faculty here, the balance between people who are, yes, we have some full-time faculty, but the balance between people who are full-time faculty and folks that are actually out in the field is a very nice balance.
No, that's
Let me just add here.
Sure,
if you
go ahead.
Mind.
Lucy.
The great networks that our faculty bring to Thomas College, Career Services has developed really strategic partnerships with faculty, which I think is unique in the sense that we're working closely with the accounting professors to place our students in great internship opportunities, really leveraging the connections that these faculty bring to Thomas College.
Well, you know, that leads right into my next question, which talks about career services. And you guys have a unique guarantee here at the college.
Yes.
Some may call it a gimmick, as they have in the past. Others may say that it's real. So what I'd love to do is dispel the myth. Tell me how it works. Tell me the percentages. Tell me how the whole thing is processed. And tell me what's going on.
Yeah, sure. I can absolutely. The guaranteed job program here at Thomas College is going to look different starting this year. We just signed a new contract, and we are very committed to, or we strongly believe, that the academic foundation that our students have combined with the requirements of the guaranteed job program, which include a mandatory internship for academic credit. It includes working with Career Services by attending at least two of our workshops that have to do with resume building, etiquette training, interviewing skills. And then also we have a community service requirement that requires each student to do 10 hours of community service per year. So, and let me also add the leadership component of this. We have a requirement that students must complete two leadership series or hold a leadership role on campus. So we truly believe that this guarantee, combined with their strong academic performance in the classroom, along with all of these requirements, truly make our students and our graduates very employable within 6 months of graduation.
You mentioned something about a leadership role on campus, and I just want to make sure I clarify that, because obviously you have student government or different areas in the university, so I'm just trying to understand exactly how that role works. Tell me a little bit about that leadership role and how that comes about and who gets on it and how that's working.
Yeah, so there are many. So this is going to be implemented in this
coming year.
Right. So there are many ways that students can hold leadership roles on campus. They could be a residential assistant. They could be an orientation leader, a peer mentor, a tutor, part of the student senate, a team captain. So there are many leadership roles that a student can play on campus. And then alongside of that, we host leadership series events monthly that students will have the opportunity to attend to fulfill this requirement.
Okay, so when an individual comes in, they have 4 years in school, or they might have 2 years in school, whatever it may be in terms of their academics, they have an opportunity to get through their leadership program. They have an internship. Is that going to be in a local business, or is that going to be during summer? Does it matter?
I can speak to that.
Sure.
I'm the internship director, so I guess recently we've been sharing some of those duties. But the internship can be anywhere. So in other words, we allow up to 12 academic credits, so you could take an entire semester. And for example, we have a partnership with Disney. We've sent several students down to Disney to run a full semester internship off campus to get the kinds of skills that they need to come back. And they're in, again, this kind of weaves into leadership, because when they come back, they feel like they've been in leadership roles and they feel confident going out into the, you know, the main workforce and really getting the job done. So I mentioned that one, but we have a list of internships that, it's too long to talk about here. We've had hundreds and hundreds of internships around Maine, outside of Maine. Another example, when the Maine Red Claws moved into Portland, I went down there, and I had a history in basketball. I went down there, and I ran the younger youth part of their first summer basketball camp, and I had a good relationship with their owner. Since then, we've run interns through it's been now 3.5 years, where we've run our sport management interns through the Maine Red Claws. We have an agreement with the Sea Dogs. We go out, and we create agreements with local employers, and then we we fill their internship needs, and we get more calls from them, to be honest with you, than we can fill. Isn't that correct, Lucy?
You know, that is correct. And just in the past week or so, I've received 3 calls from area employers asking about internships, and they're interested in starting one. How can Thomas College be a resource for them? So, you know, in just my short time being here, I've created a number of internship programs for outside businesses. So we always welcome
my
those.
My struggle is, often is it paid versus unpaid? Because if they come and ask for unpaid, there's so many paid that our students won't fill the unpaid. So it's really more that than any lack of internships. There is no lack. We get our students all over New England, all over the United States, and various internships. Most of them are in Maine. You
know? Well, there's been a big change in the laws on internships as well, so it makes it a little more difficult to have unpaid internships versus paid internships, and that is a tongue twister. But to say all that, it is more difficult. So I can certainly understand why a college person would want to be paid versus unpaid. It's pretty common sense on that end.
And the reality is, we serve 70% first generation college goers, so it's really important to them to have, they have to earn money while they're putting themselves through college. So it's greatly helpful to have a paid internship.
And you're listening to the HR Power Hour, and we will be right back.
Running a company can feel like you're surrounded. A key person quits. A big project presents itself. You need good people fast. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Our contract staffing service will fill a position or find the right talent for a short-term project. Hundreds of companies choose us because we deliver people that fit. Career Management Associates, your contract staffing solution. Go to cmacareer.com.
At highway speeds, the average text takes your eyes off the road for about 5 seconds. That's enough time to travel the length of a football field. Stop texts. StopWrecks.org.
Packers.
Vikings.
We come from different places.
Uptown.
Downtown.
We come to different conclusions.
Half empty.
Half full.
But when we live united, we make a real difference in the building blocks of life. Children succeed in school, families gain financial stability, the health of our neighbors improves, and suddenly so do our communities. Real change won't happen without you.
Live united.
So give, advocate, volunteer, live united. Sign up today at liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
We're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour, presented by CMACareer.com, and you're listening to 3 guests from Thomas College, Lori Guachance, President, Dr. James Libby, Academic Dean, and Lucy Pelsma, the Assistant Dean of Alumni and Career Services.
Business consistently ranks communication skills, problem-solving skills, critical thinking, and self-motivation as they set something they expect from graduates. Tell me, Lori, what you think the institution is doing or what you're setting the precedent for, and then I'll certainly ask for both your feedback to try to see that graduates come out with those type of skill sets.
Well, it's funny because the vast majority of what I see of business asking for is the softer skills. Give me an academically grounded student with the appropriate soft skills, and I can make them into anything in my industry.
Absolutely true.
But if they lack those soft skills, it doesn't matter how many A's they got in their coursework. They may or may not work well within the business. And so we have put that as a focus, and Jim could probably speak to this better than mine, but my understanding is, for example, every single student goes through 2 semesters of public speaking.
Well, we have a semester of public speaking, but then there's several other communications-oriented courses that they take as well.
Right. So many of those soft skills come right in through the academic curriculum, things they must take to graduate. And now we're rounding it out with the other soft skills, learning how to network, how to work as a team. So the academic and the supportive opportunities are working in concert to make sure that we graduate a fully rounded student, which is why we put into the job guarantee, it's not just enough to get a 3.2 in your coursework to guarantee. You got to make sure you know how to interact with people, you know how to work with teams, you know how to support your community, you know how to lead. If we can guarantee a student that's had leadership experience and community service experience and understand there's more to life than the grade you got on your accounting exam, then we know they will succeed out there.
Yeah, I'll tell you, this is an area that I hear consistently, is that someone coming out of university colleges, at times they just don't have those soft skills. They are maybe very smart, they may have passed very good courses, but they cannot take their hands off a phone, they can't interact with people, they text their boss, they can't spell properly, they can't do any of those things. And that's a real problem in the business community, because we at CMA see recruiters as recruiters. We see this all the time. It's pretty scary, some of the stuff we see out there. It really is kind of scary. So Jim, why don't you talk a little bit about what you're planning in 2013-14 to really focus on this area?
I think we've been living it all along. So with my department, it isn't so much of planning for the future as much as it is the past and the future. Mm-hmm. But just as an example, I mean, I spent some time in the legislature, and Lori has a lot of contacts in the state of Maine as well. And you work on your contacts, Lucy, from Greater Boston and beyond, really. And so recently we had contact from a former chief of staff, and his brother ran a company in Portland that was an IT-related technology-based company. Small company, I think they said 55 employees, something like that. So I called them up, which we're all constantly talking to employers. In fact, you have Lori has a sign-in book here with hundreds of names of people that have come in the 1 year that she's been here. So anyway, I was talking with that person, and the first thing he said to me was, you know, we can sit down and talk about what you teach in terms of computer skills, IT skills to your students, but all I want from you is somebody that can read and write and express themselves and communicate, and somebody who's extroverted and understands all of that, and then we can talk about the skills. So that was the same feedback that you're getting. It's the kind of feedback that I think drives us to make sure that we spend the extra time on those skills. I have somebody who's been around here for 40 some odd years who is an absolute expert in, and you're going to utilize this person, I think, for an upcoming career development, absolute expert in
etiquette.
She runs probably the best 1 hour piece on etiquette that I can imagine, and I've been through it a few times with her. And it's a lot of fun, but I mean, right down to what cufflinks you ought to be wearing. She's just absolutely, and you're wearing some today.
Yeah, just looking down. Yeah,
and of course I noticed that because I've been trained to notice it. So I think the thing that is fantastic about what we do here is that we pay attention to those kind of skills. We offer them as not necessarily part of the academic content, although it's weaved in there, mm-hmm. but it's part of the programming that surrounds the academic content. And and then we make sure in the academic content that we have somebody who's skilled in communication. I think the one thing that we do here, because we're not Bowdoin, Bates, or Colby, we accept the B students here. And the one thing that we do here is provide a lot of scaffolding. So we have a first year seminar course that does nothing but focus on research, writing, communications, and all of those associated skills. And we do that in the very first semester that students come. And that helps get them off on the right foot. And it's really part of our retention efforts. We have a dean of retention here. A lot of schools don't have that. I think it's been very helpful to us in the last 5 years to have that person working individually with students. And you know, we're a college of 1,000. We've got the ability to work individually with students. And I think that's maybe a primary difference between us and some of the larger institutions you've talked to.
No, I think that's great. I think that's a very clear plan. You have some key positions that help that situation along tremendously, and that is something that I'm not sure I've heard a lot of in my dialogue with universities and colleges around, so that's fantastic.
Similarly to Jim's point, career service and the college as a whole, puts on events and workshops. Similar to the At Work, we have a number of guest speakers that we're really excited about, true Maine business leaders that are coming to Thomas College to give different lectures, one being the art of networking. So teaching students how to not only feel comfortable in a professional setting, but then what do you do after? How do you leverage someone else's network to get you an informational interview in a company that you want to be at? Etiquette's a great one. Personal brand, talking about your personal and professional brand. You know, you pick up your phone and everyone's on Facebook, yep. But not many students necessarily know about LinkedIn until, you know, it's great to leverage the LinkedIn, build your profile, and we're teaching students how to do that. This year, our Accelerated MBAs, we have put together a mentor leadership program. So we are pairing an alum, going back to your point earlier, how are alums being engaged or re-engaged mm-hmm. in the college? We're selecting alums within the industries that our Accelerated MBA students are interested in. We're partnering them, and we're giving them that network and that support throughout their very intense Accelerated MBA program. And that's what I really think separates Thomas.
No, I think that's great. You know, a little bit about career services. You know, sure. Some of the colleges and universities I've talked to, career services is either really front and center, and they really push it a lot, or it's kind of in the background. It's kind of not necessarily the big push for some university. Clearly here at this college, it is, no question, a big push. What are you planning on doing in this upcoming year? You're new in position. So what are you planning to do to really make sure that they're getting current, modern career services rather than some that maybe aren't quite up to speed?
That's a great question. Thomas College is a career-focused college, so we know that we need to provide students with real-time, if you will, professional skills. My background is in business. I've been in finance. I've developed these skills throughout my 11 years working with high-net-worth individuals, as well as CEOs of various companies. So I truly believe with, you know, the networks and the expertise that the faculty bring, I really believe that from my experiences as well as my team's experiences that we're going to deliver the workshops that are relevant. And when we're out networking and meeting with employers, we hear, similar to the points that you've made today, what our students need to be taught and need to be refreshed upon.
Do you have anything to add, Laura?
Just who we are.
Yeah.
I mean, Thomas is a college of business and what I would call the practical liberal arts. Our students don't come to college for the fun or joy of just coming to college. They have to graduate with a job. They have to.
Right.
And we do everything within our power to make sure that happens for them. And it's through the involvement of every single faculty member. It's through a community where everybody knows a student and they cannot fall through the cracks. You just cannot get lost here, as hard as you may try.
Yeah. So, well, we were just talking earlier, it's 1,000 students. You know, it's not like, you know, University of Michigan. We were just talking about when I used to live in Ann Arbor, it's 130,000 somewhat. Yeah. Students, it's a different world completely in terms of its size, or even here in Maine, USM versus, you know, Thomas. Just by sheer numbers, we're talking about that.
And you're listening to the HR Power Hour, and we will be right back.
If you're responsible for hiring and firing, you know it can be like a roulette wheel. If your new hire turns out to be a bad hire, well, all you've lost is time and money. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Don't gamble with your hiring. We have a better solution. We've helped hundreds of companies like yours find the right talent, and we guarantee it. Career Management Associates delivers people that fit. Go to cmacareer.com.
Hi, this is Peter Boldick at Harvest Hill Farms. For those folks who are looking for healthy eating alternatives, we have been raising natural range-fed beef and poultry right here in the great state of Maine for over 15 years. Let us introduce you to our Never Ever program. Our animals are never ever introduced to growth hormones or antibiotics, only raised as nature intended. We are conveniently located on Route 26 in Mechanic Falls. To find out more, call us at 998-5485 or go to our website, harvesthillfarms.com. That's harvesthillfarms.com.
Are you frustrated with medical care today? Does it make you angry that your doctor spends more time looking at the computer screen than at you? Does it seem like your doctor is out the door in 5 minutes? there is a better alternative. At Champy Family Practice, Dr. Michael Champy and his dedicated staff make taking care of patients their priority. They are a cash-friendly direct pay practice, which is the perfect option for people with no insurance, high deductibles, and health savings accounts. Unlike other practices, they post their prices in the office and even online. Get modern medical care delivered the old-fashioned way. For more information, call ChampyFamilyPractice.com. That's C-I-A-M-P-I. Or call 774-1222. Champy Family Practice is located at 380 Lincoln Street in South Portland. Champy Family Practice, continuing a tradition of medical excellence in Greater Portland since 1959.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour, presented by CMAcareer.com, and you're listening to three guests from Thomas College, Lori Guachance, President, Dr. James Libby, Academic Dean, and Lucy Pelsma, the Assistant Dean of Alumni and Career Services.
Lori, one of the questions that did come up is the fact that students have a lot of debt today. Mm-hmm. And the fact that this is, you know, the cost of education continues to increase. What do you see as some of the challenges or some of the things that, one, could be at the local level, could be at the state level in terms of helping the situation, maybe even at the national level, but I'll let you talk about locally in Maine and maybe about the college itself.
Well, it's no question that student debt is now the crushing debt. It used to be credit card and mortgage, and now student debt has outpaced both of those. It's horrific to place that kind of burden on this generation, because with a sluggish economy, it will be very difficult for them to come out from under. The college takes that very seriously. We are a private institution. We don't have the benefit of getting 30 to 50% of our revenues from state tax dollars. So we have to be cognizant that any cost we incur is going to be passed on to our students. So every decision has to be very carefully considered. And think in terms of investment instead of expenses. The board of directors has, in the last 2 years, despite the rest of the world not really thinking this way, we've frozen tuition. We could have really used those extra dollars to do all sorts of things, but they froze tuition because they did not feel our student body, particularly who we serve, could bear any more in the way of increased expenses. The vast majority, I would say, 95% of our students get some form of aid. They don't pay full freight. And we do everything within our power to give them opportunities to work, to have flexible schedules so they can have jobs and keep their debt levels down. We're creating new programming in accelerated fashion so that they can graduate in 3 years at little or no extra cost, or they can graduate in 4 years with an undergraduate and a master's degree. So the accelerated programming is another way that we try to keep costs down and value up. And it's really a part of the fabric of everything we do, keeping in mind who the customers are that we serve. And because we are 80% Maine students and 70% first generation, cost has to be a consideration.
Yeah, I want to add to that. I mean, I am a product of a family that I was a first generation Mainer, you know, degree holder as well. I ended up getting 4 degrees. I have 4 college degrees through the PhD. And so I had some college debt. And what I tell, because I've lived it, what I tell every single student is you're going to earn, the most surveys say you're going to earn between $1.3 and $1.6 million more than the person that doesn't have a college degree. You're going to be one of, and in Maine, we're dead last in New England in bachelor's degrees conferred. You're going to be one of a short list that employers are looking for in terms of your skills and your abilities. You're going to get the job that you need. And in fact, we go as far as guaranteeing it here. So when you are receiving that first paycheck, and 6 months later, the federal law allows your payments for student loans to begin 6 months after you graduate, and I think that's probably a good thing. But when they start kicking in, you're going to find out that this payment's going to be equal to or less than your car payment. And if you've got to pay that over 25 years, 20 years, 15 years, I'd rather look at that number than I would maybe the overall level of debt, because that, you know, you're not going to be able to knock it off, and it's not going to be one home run. You're going to, you know, pay off $50,000 or $75,000 worth of debt. You're going to pay over a number of years, but because you're earning a lot more, you're going to be able to handle it. And that usually, parents come in and talk to us about that, not just the students, and that usually allays their fears. I think we need to communicate that in Maine, because the fear here is greater than other states. I think it has to do with the nature of our state being a, you know, having a long industrialized kind of history where we've gotten a little bit away from maybe some of the traditional workplace and jobs that we've seen in the past here in Maine, and as a result, you're not going to work in a factory for 40 years like maybe your ancestors did. You can't be afraid to invest in yourself. And that's the message I tell, you know, I send to all of the students and all the prospective students and their parents.
So we talked about costs a little. From a career perspective, what do you think some of the employers in Maine and New Hampshire, how are you reaching out to them? How are you talking to them? What do you think they're really looking for that you can help them with this year in getting them engaged and taking students from Thomas?
With respect to the skill set?
Yes.
Well, let's tell them the story of Maine Municipal Association.
I could tell you about 15 stories. I mean, okay. We can start with that one.
Sure, stories are good.
We can start with that one. I mean, you know, I think the Maine Municipal Association, we went and we spoke with them. We made a presentation to them along with three other colleges or universities. And so the whole idea is, do we need to assist with the training of municipal employees in Maine? And the obvious answer is yes. I mean, you've seen all kinds of problems in this town and that town, you know, where people have unfortunately, you know, they've been on the wrong side of the law, and part of that is due to training and just an understanding of the job and the need for security and the skill sets and so forth. So you know, they have decided to contract with us, and they've come to ask for training opportunities that we can provide them, and we will also provide them with degree opportunities. And this is it's not direct. I mean, you know, what Maine Municipal has said is we'll help to communicate some of these opportunities, and if people take advantage of them and want to enroll at Thomas College, that's a good thing. We'll provide it. I think another story I want to tell really quickly here is that when we decided that we would go into the healthcare administration field, that was a big change for us here at Thomas. And so we went to, and this I think is very interesting, we went to healthcare organizations around the state. And what we found was that the leaders of these organizations already had Thomas College MBAs. They already had them. And so when we, this no stretch, we talked to Maine General, for example, and four of their top execs had a Thomas MBA, including their CEO. So when we spoke to them about what are the skills that are necessary to, you know, and for you to have productive employees in the hospital setting, and the answer was, these are the same skills that you've been teaching in the MBA program. So we don't necessarily want you to have a graduate degree that's just in healthcare administration. We're looking for an MBA with a concentration in healthcare. And then we think that you'll be providing the marketing, the accounting, the human resource management, the strategic operations, all of that kind of skill building, and they'll be productive employees when they come back to us. So that was a great feeling, actually, when we were talking with these employers, and they already have Thomas degrees. One of the great things about Thomas College, 80%, and this is consistently in our surveys, 80% of the people that graduate from here are going to stay here in Maine. 80%. So even though we're small, there's been a multi-year buildup of Thomas grads that are out there, and what we're trying to do now is to quicken the pace.
No, I think that's great. It's interesting, 80%, because that's rare.
Yeah,
in Maine, especially
I think
current trends.
Might be even a little higher than that.
Yeah,
yeah.
Say 80.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Do you think that's because of the demographic of the school and the level of the student that you get, that they are engaged in the community here, they're committed to staying in Maine, they're maybe first generation, and that's the families here? Is that probably a...
That's probably a piece of it. We actually graduate a higher percentage that stay in Maine than even what come from Maine. Yeah. So we call ourselves that we're personally, you know, we're reversing that brain drain that's frequently talked about. And it probably is a commitment to the state. And that's why this partnership with Maine Municipal became such a critical one for us. I saw a tremendous opportunity. I've been working with MMA for years. And, you know, there's close to 500 town or city managers and welfare directors and parks and rec directors. Those are skills that we can create here with just a little bit of nuancing of our core curriculum in business. And students come to us as sports management majors, for example. As an 18-year-old, not many people come to us and say, I want to be a town manager. They come to us and say, I want to work for the Boston Celtics. And so we take them where they are in their hopes and dreams, and then they learn all the basics of business, whether it's marketing or finance or HR. And then we place them in an internship, which will be now afforded to us through the Maine Municipal Association. We had one last year over in Oakland. He did everything. He rode on the snowplow. He rode in the police cruiser. He worked in the office itself with the manager. He got every aspect. Suddenly, a whole new career evolves to that now 22-year-old who never dreamed it possible that if they wanted to, they could go back near their hometown and have a very meaningful job and influence on their community. Never would have dreamed it. They don't come here at 18 saying, I want to be this. But if we can expose them to it and give them the academic and experiential pieces to make it real, suddenly they've got a great career and they can stay in their home state.
No, I think that's great. And that's a real direct partnership with real life. And that's huge in terms of being able to connect with the community, connect with business, connect with government in this particular case, and give people a direction and focus.
Right. Jim was just talking about our meeting with Maine General. And Maine General is the largest project ever completed in Maine.
Enormous.
It is completed ahead of schedule and below budget. And it's run by 4 Thomas MBA graduates, the CEO, the COO, the CIO, and the Chief Nursing Officer, the CNO.
Claiming
some piece of that success.
Yeah, make sure you get a plaque in there somewhere.
Absolutely.
I think that's important. No, I think that's great. Well, this has been a great dialogue, a great conversation about some of the things that are happening here in Maine with a super-duper little college here in Thomas College. And I think it's great. I appreciate all you being here today. And thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Today I wanted to read an article that is on CNN Money, posted on April 17, 2013. It's posted by Megan Husted. And the title of the article is "The Benefits of Being Stupid at Work: Why Employees Who Aren't the Sharpest Knives in the Drawer, at least not that anyone can tell, might do best of all." According to Fortune magazine, which actually published this article, would you rather be thoughtless and successful or intelligent and frustrated? A recent article in The New Scientist addressed the never-ending ignorance as bliss debate with the following question. If being intelligent was an evolutionary advantage, why aren't we all uniformly intelligent? The obvious, unscientific answer is probably for the same reasons we aren't uniformly good-looking. But is being smart always to your benefit? Are there instances when stupid works better? Stupidity can increase efficiencies, claims Matt Avelson, professor of organizational studies at Lund University in Sweden, in the Journal of Management Studies article titled, quote, "A Stupidity-Based Theory of Organizations," unquote. Avelson and a colleague, Andre Spicer, explains how they call functionality stupid generally helps get things done. Quote, "Critical reflection and shrewdness were net positives, but when too many clever individuals in an organization raises their hands to suggest alternative courses of action or to ask disquietly questions about decisions and structures, work slows." Do you think that's true? It's an interesting question. So, you know, as I think about this article, it gives an example. It talks about hospital finances are broken and how to fix them. The study's authors found that stupidity, on the other hand, seems to have a unifying effect. It boosts productivity. People content in an atmosphere of functional stupidity came to consensus more easily. And with that consensus came greater roll-up-our-sleeves enthusiasm for concentrating on the job. Superior intelligence often comes with hidden costs. Say you're a person for whom schoolwork was always effortless. You may be more likely to become frustrated when a job doesn't yield readily to effort. Quote, I often think that having had to work harder for good grades would have taught me much earlier that not everything worth doing comes easily. And not being immediately good at something doesn't mean that mastery can come with hard work, said Sarah Grace, host of Frizzy Greenlight Social Capitalist podcast. Decreased diligence is only half of it. In some job situations, being smarter, faster, and more rhetorically gifted might also help keep you stuck in your current role longer than your peers. When you have a lower-level job, being exceptionally good at it usually is a detriment to getting promoted, says Lily Marcus, author of Save the Assistants, A Guide for Surviving and Thriving in the Workplace. For example, when you're such a great assistant that your boss has difficulty functioning without you, it means that he or she will keep you on as an assistant as long as possible and will not consider promoting you out of service. So I'm going to stop the article right now, and I'm going to ask people what they think about that. So I'd like to know what you think about this, and that's go to hrpowerhour.com. Click on the podcast for today, and underneath you will see an ability for you to share your thoughts on this article. So the article is titled, The Benefits of Being Stupid at Work. I'm not sure that's true, but I'm curious what you think. And now your HR tip of the week. Last week we talked about three great apps that are new to help HR productivity. We found three more. First, LogMeIn. Secure.logmein.com is a remote desktop service that allows you to securely log into your desktop computer via the LogMeIn website. It works for mobile apps, and it also works from tablets or your phone. Evernote. Evernote.com is a cloud storage device of a different stripe, as it is built around enhanced note-taking. At its simplest level, Evernote allows you to take notes and create simple text documents whether your computer is on a mobile device or you have the same notes immediately accessible on other devices via the Evernote website. Finally, Skitch, S-K-I-T-C-H, or Evernote.com/Skitch, is a simple. It allows you to take an existing form, document, photo, map, or other file, and add comments, notes, and a simple graphic to it. That's your HR tip of the week. Next week on the HR Power Hour, we're going to be speaking with Kevin Lewis, CEO of Maine Community Health Options. It's a new, nonprofit, consumer-operated, and orientated health insurance plan, or co-op, and it's going to be on the Maine Exchange. Do you know what the exchange is? Do you know how it's going to work? Well, listen to us next week when Kevin Lewis tells us how. Thank you for listening, and catch us every week at 10 a.m. on News Talk WLOB 1310 a.m. or streaming live on WLOBradio.com. Podcasts of this show and every show are available at hrpowerhour.com. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, HR management is critical to your business's success.